And if I could just borrow the title from a couple of songs they sung. There's no other God like Jehovah. There's none like him. And no time have I ever realized that as I did on last week. Now, I don't know if you heard or no, but I experienced something last week that traumatized me. Anybody know me and know about my cooking? I'm very particular. I want everything to be a certain way. Matter of fact, I remember one time Henry had gotten me to bake a cake for a guy. And he kept calling me up. He said, man, that cake ain't ready yet. What's taking so long? I said, well, I threw the first two away. He said, you did what? So why you did that? I said, I didn't like the way they look. So you can imagine on last week when I took those 22-quart containers of gumbo out my refrigerator and I got a whiff that made me very uncomfortable. So I called my wife in there because she's the food expert. She worked, she done had this training on this, that, and the other. But all that was just so she could come in there and tell me, it's gone. To say I was in shock was an understatement. Matter of fact, I found myself standing there just looking at it, like as if I looked at it long enough. And then I realized, I said, I got to call somebody. So I got on the phone and I went to calling some folk. And the pastor and I was talking, and he told me, well, Landry, that kitchen is not my expertise. But here's what I know. We got to feed those people. And that started to stir me up a little bit. But talking about Jehovah now, because I have to admit, I may have caught 40% of what the pastor was telling me, because I was zoning in and out. Focus was on me. How could this happen? I'm debating with God. God, you knew when that gumbo spoiled, I was going to be upset. How could you let this happen? But finally, enough people got me to get the focus off of me and on to the need. And my phone rang. And Sister Trudy said, I just heard what happened. What are you going to do? And I told her what my plan was. And she said, okay, I'm going to do this, and this. And Jehovah blessed us. We put a whole meal together to feed all those people in less than 3 hours. And here's the part that I really want to share with you. And Pastor Wiegel are probably going to touch on it when he get back here. The conference official was raving, heaping praise upon the Berean church. How much they enjoyed it. How great the hospitality was. And how much they enjoyed the food. That made me feel a whole lot better. All I can say is praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to do my best to let the Lord use me up here this morning, because the praise team almost acted like that gumbo. They done traumatized me a little bit. But I'm going to lean on him now like I have leaned on him in the past. Now, see, the devil already bit. I don't know why. He jumped on me last week with that food. And now he's jumping on me now. Because, see, I usually don't have the computer up here. I was using my tablet. But, you know, you get a certain age. And the font's just not large enough to get them up to a size where I'm comfortable. Everything not on the screen. I'm in that tweener stage because it's too blurry without the glasses and too blurry for the glass. So now I got to use this thing this morning. So you keep me in prayer, please, 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 as we spend a few moments in God's word. If you would, read with me our text for this morning, if they're on the screen. Are they? It's kind of light back there. Oh, there we go. I can see the black right. Okay, all together, if you would stand with me as we read the word of God, I would appreciate it. Say amen when you're ready. Amen. Together. Amen. And our next scripture. Amen. You may be, well, let us pray first. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity, Lord, to stand before you. Continue to bless our pastor where he is ministering to that part of your vineyard. And as I stand in his stead here in the pulpit of Berean, Lord, be with me, guide me, keep me, hide me behind the shadow of the cross, and I'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. We're going to spend a few moments this morning considering the subject, how busy is too busy? How busy is too busy? I don't know what your house is like, but in mine, with maybe the exception of the bathroom, there are clocks in just about every room in the house. There's an alarm clock on the nightstand by the bed. I got mine and my wife got hers, because we get up at different times. We got clocks hanging on the wall. They got clocks on the stove. They got clocks in our cars. I got a clock on the bus. I got a clock on my laptop, on my tablet, on my smartphone. Some of us even have smart watches and smart TVs with all kind of beepers and alarms and voice-enhanced reminders that we utilize as high-tech personal assistants to get us started and get us through our busy days. And whether we realize it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, we heavily rely on some, most, if not all of these things to keep us focused and on track so we will at least have a chance to get some of these things accomplished that we have planned for our day. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, if we want to be honest with ourselves, I don't care how energetic you are, how zealous you are, there are mornings when you just don't want to get up out that bed. Why? The truth of the matter is, we love our sleep. We love our chill time. We love our leisure time. And if we don't have these gadgets to remind us to get up and get about our business, a whole lot of things in our lives will be left undone. we know if we want to keep our job. You got to show up. You got to be reliable, dependable, hardworking, and especially on time. If you want good grades in school, you have to be committed and determined to do what it takes to be successful. That means going to class. That means setting aside some time to study so you can pass your exam. That means turning your assignments in on time so you can get your grades. Everything is run according to time. Everything in our lives has to be done in a timely manner. In the minds of many in the business world today, time is the new currency. How many times you ever heard or haven't heard someone say, times are wasting and time is money? See, unlike earlier generations, when I was a boy growing up, people would spend their time to save their money. But in today's world, people will spend their money to save a little time. Why? Because we were so easily stressed out and strained and tense and worried and anxious about the vicissitudes of life. We're ripping and running from here to there, always rushing, always in a hurry, trying to get to the next thing that we believe will help us to accomplish our lifelong wants and desires. Country band by the name of Alabama put out a song that sums up our dilemma very well. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. See, at some point, we, especially as believers, got to come to grips with the inevitable and undeniable reality that time is perishable, that time is irreplaceable. Our own Elder Lawrence reminds us so often when she's up speaking that this is a day we have never seen before, and it's a day we'll never see again. There's no recall. Can't hit the rewind button. We don't get no redos on our time. Time is the most precious resource. It is a priceless and highly valuable commodity. But in no means does it mean, in no way does it mean that we have to rush and hurry and hustle through life. You know, Jesus walked this earth. Jesus did the thing. That's a good thing about Jesus. Jesus led by example. See, Jesus, everything Jesus asked us to do, He's already done it. He was our role model. He was our example. But guess what? Jesus had the same amount of time in the day that we had. 24 hours a day. But he never hustled. But yet, as busy as he was, his mission and his ministry was accomplished in 3 short years. And in those 3 short years, he always had time to pray and fellowship with his Heavenly Father. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He fed the hungry and comforted the poor. He preached the word of God and taught his disciples on a daily basis, and not to even mention that he walked just about everywhere he went. He ever caught sitting out there. And in spite of all that busyness, he still found time to play with children. Investigate a fig tree, fall asleep during a boat ride, take a nap beside a well, attend a wedding and turn water into wine. So my question for us today is, how busy is too busy? How busy is too busy? Well, here you go. When we allow ourselves to get so busy that we don't have time for God, that we don't have time to do the thing that God has called us to do, the things that are pleasing in his sight, we're too busy. See, I've studied the scriptures, and nowhere have I ever read where it says, hurry up so we can catch up with God. But in Psalms 46:10, I read, be still. And when you look that up, and get an understanding of the Hebrew, it means to cease your striving. And know, not what the pastor told you, not what you heard somebody say in Sabbath school, not what you got exposed to as you pass the television on Sunday morning and one of them preachers was on there saying some stuff. He said, be still and know that I am God. We rip and run trying to make things happen. You know, Elder Wilson made a statement to us during the stewardship presentation that we got to get on our knees and pray as if everything depends on God. And then get up and work as if everything depends on us. And that's a true statement. But don't take it out of context, because another thing I never found in Scripture anywhere where I could find Jesus say, come, follow me, and I will work you until you drop 14, 16, 18 hours a day. I never found that. But in Matthew 11, 28, I found where he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will do what? I will give you rest. See, how wisely we use our time will determine whether or not we have true peace and joy in our lives. How wisely we use our time will determine whether or not we will experience a life-altering spiritual growth and maturity in our lives. It will determine whether or not we will have any meaningful and significant influence or impact on the lives of those around us. See, you can talk what you want, but you can fool some of the people some of the time. See, one thing I done learned very well since I've been driving the bus and dealing with them children, you can't fool them children. They know when you're genuine. They have a way of knowing if you are sincere and you genuinely care for them. And how do they let you know? By the way they act with you. See, this is nothing but a distraction from the devil. He wants us to be focused on stuff, continuously being busy on stuff. What kind of stuff? The stuff of this world. Because if I'm focused and hung up on the stuff of this world, I can't focus on the stuff of the world to come. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying distractions are a bad thing. Not all distractions are a bad thing. You know, it's distractions in and of themselves may not be wrong. I like the way the distraction is defined. It's defined as to step away, to refine, to revive and refresh and refocus. But it also can be that thing that prevents us from giving our full attention to something else. When I think about a good distraction, some of you know and realize some years ago, my baby sister was murdered by her husband. And to say that thing rocked my world, because I just couldn't understand it. I couldn't come to grips with it. And for a time, I was going through some things. And see, I got this bad habit of keeping everything in. Because of some of the experiences in my life, it's hard for me to let you know I'm hurting. It's hard for me to let you know that I'm struggling. I try to deal with it all myself. Well, to be honest with you, I wasn't dealing with this too well. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating right. And why was that so dangerous? Because at that time, I was commuting back and forth to New Orleans to work, getting on that highway with little sleep. And one night, out of the blue, sun had set, and I'm sitting in the house struggling with this thing, and my phone rang. And the brother said, you know what? Hey, man, you need to get out of that house. Come over to my house. And when I got to his house, we took the time to look at a fight. Eat that wonderful meal that he had prepared. And just that little time was enough to revive me, to refresh me, to help me to refocus. And I went home and slept like a baby. Thank you, Elder Jones. I didn't ask him to do that. And to this day, I believe that God put it on his mind and his heart, called him. But you won't hear that call if you allow yourself to get too busy for God. Because you notice when we get too busy for God, guess who go on the back burner? Uh-oh. It's going to be God. We are stewards, beloved. You're going to be hearing a lot of that this year. Because we got that slogan, expect the great. But what I want to tell you is expecting the great don't mean sit down and wait for something to happen. That's not what that means. What it means is apply yourself. Embrace the task before us. Accept God's calling and mission for us. Engage. And once you do, expect the great. Because the success of the work does not depend upon you. Now, I can't remember the exact page in the Desire of Ages, but the servant of the Lord makes it clear that the success of the work, God does not hold us responsible for the success of the work, but he does expect us to go and tell. They reject you. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. Why? Because you see, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. See that the world and they that dwell? Just in case you miss it, that's us. That's us. But see, here's the problem. See, whenever we hear the word stewardship, you know what the first thing comes to our mind? There they go, asking for money again. Here you go. You ever notice that as soon as the subject of stewardship come up, your bladder go to acting up. Your child go to acting up. You start feeling a little sleepy. Your ear get to itching. Anything to make you get up and walk out so you can't hear what's being said. Like that's going to excuse us. No. Because you see, stewardship involves more than our money. And if you look up stewardship, you can pull up the definition, Google it, look in the spirit of prophecy. First thing it says that stewardship involves our time, our talents, our means, our possessions, our wealth. They ought to be used for the service of God. Now, you know, in my mind, it's not by coincidence or happenstance that they first get lifted. It's time. And every time I pull up that definition, that's the first thing they lift. Time. And if you think about it, it's not that complicated. It makes sense. If you're out of time, you don't have no more talents. You don't have no more means. You don't have no more possessions. No more wealth. You can't be used in the service of God. My dad used to sum it up like this. Boy, in all the days I've been walking up on God's earth, he's resting in his grave. Now, he said, I ain't never seen an almond caught filing no hearse. You're not taking anything out of this world with you but your character. And guess what? If you haven't worked on that, you're not taking anything out of here with you. Not anything worthwhile, right? Time is important. So if we spend too much time on the unnecessary and the unimportant, we won't have time for God. And if we don't have time for God, how can we expect to hold on to his truth? And if we can't hold on to his truth, it means one thing. You done got too busy for God. See, we're living in a world that's ruled by the God of this age. And the Lord knew. He knew we were going to face difficulty. Look, it's no surprise to God that we're struggling with something. God knows our nature better than we do. He knows that the devil is out there creating special packages to trip you up. Now, when I say you, that don't mean I'm not including myself. But what he's packaging for you, Bro Blue, he got a different whole package for me. See? Because he done studied us. He done watched us. He knows what buttons to push. He knows what will get us distracted and off track. He knows what to mess with in our lives. Because what happened is when the pressure comes down, if you don't have that connection, if you don't have that relationship, you're going to revert back to doing what you think should be done. And God done told us, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. How can I tell you I know what God's going to do next when I'm not even sure what I'm going to do next? See, God understands that we're living in a world. We got to earn a living. We got to eat. We got to clothe our families, protect them, provide for them. He knows all that. See, but what he wants us to realize, don't get caught up in these worldly pursuits to where you become so busy, you're too busy for him. That's what he's trying to get us to see. You understand? That American dream, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, guess what? God already done did what needed to be done for your life. He sacrificed his son. He already done what he needs to do for your freedom. You're not under the penalty of the law no more. You're not. Grace took care of that. And the pursuit of happiness, God said, forget that happiness thing. I got some joy and peace I want to give you. See, it takes happiness. Don't let you sleep in the middle of no storm. But peace will. Happiness won't let you sleep in the middle of a divorce, a death of a child, an addiction, a loss of your job, a loss of a loved one, sickness. Happiness won't help you there. But the peace and joy of God will get you through. But how are we going to know if we done got too busy for God? And how do we get too busy for God? We let the daily activities in our lives, the people in our lives, the things in our lives consume our time to the point where we get up in the morning and run out the door without saying, thank you, Lord. And we say, Christians, we say, Lord, when the alarm clock went off, I didn't want to leave that house. When we ought to be saying, when God opened my eyes this morning. That alarm clock ain't had nothing to do with it. Yeah, the alarm clock went off at the time you said it. But it was God
who turned on your senses. It was God who put you in your right mind so you could hear that alarm clock.
So give him the praise and give him the glory.
Well, you know what?
Paul talks about redeeming the time. Well, there's several things we got to do to redeem the time. I'm going to give you 3 points. First, purpose. Do you have a purpose? Or do you just come into church every week waiting to see what's going to happen next? Listening to everybody else talk about how they was blessed and just sitting back waiting for God to give you yours. Not even realizing that he's blessing you every moment of the day. Every moment of the day. So what is our purpose in life? Well, Paul tells us in verse 17, 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, just in case that didn't come home, let me help you bring it home. I'm going to put a little Landry on the end. But understand what the will of the Lord is for you. Not for Elder Prochet. Not for Elder Wilson. Not for Landry. Not for Wego. Not for the deacons, deaconesses. For you. I heard something years and years ago when I first came into this truth that stuck with me all them years. And the preacher was preaching and he said, as important as it is for us to know the Lord's will, it's just as important, if not more important, for us to know what the Lord's will is for us. See, because what the Lord might have you doing is not what he want me to do. What he can use you to accomplish, he may not can use me to accomplish. And we see that with the disciples. You know, some of us are like Peter. We're a sledgehammer trying to kill a mosquito. No. God said, in that situation, I need a lighter touch. I need somebody with some people skills. I don't want to run them out of here. See, there's a big difference of walking up to somebody that's new in the faith saying, you know, we got a help message. And I'd like to sit down and share something with you that will benefit you. But the other brother come along and say, hey, you ain't got no business eating that. What you doing here? We don't eat that stuff up in here. Who you think is going to be more effective? Which approach you think will have more impact? God will use each of us in different situations, and our personality, they got a lot to do with it. If you short-tempered, grouchy, God's not going to be sending you to be trying to win no folk over. He might send you to talk to some of these church folk. But he ain't going to be sending you to talk to them people he's trying to win their soul. You got to have a delicate approach. And that's why we have to understand what God is trying to do to us. That's why we need to understand what God's will is for us. Because now that's the first step. Because once you understand your purpose, and what is that purpose? Again, understanding what the Lord will is for. God said, I want you to become new creatures in my son. Before you can go out there and talk to your old folk, your old friends, your old family members, you need to be a new creature first. So when you tell them, you're speaking from experience. Not what somebody told you. And guess what? They already had previews
of the coming attraction. They knew how you were before you met Jesus. They remember how you used to cuss and fuss, party and cut up. They know. I'm not going to go into no details about particulars, but I remember a friend of mine when he found out I was in the church. And he asked me, he said, "Bro, I heard you got baptized." I said, "Yeah, man, gave my life to the Lord." He said, "Well, when they put you in there, did the water start boiling?" And I said, "Oh, man, that's not." He said, "No, bro, I'm just kidding, but I ain't kidding about that. How in the world did you end up in the church?" I said, "It wasn't me. It was Jesus." Once he got my attention, he convicted me. Once I understood his purpose, he began to convert me. I said, "Begin to convert me." You know why I say to begin? Because he's not finished with that yet. See, we got three stages of salvation. I have been saved, justification. I am being saved, sanctification. I will be saved, glorification. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but we should all be in that middle stage. If you still back there, hung up on justification, and not embracing sanctification, you done got too busy or too selfish for God. As one minister I used to talk to say all the time, God going to do what God going to do. You just need to get out of his way. Huh? Because that's where you don't want to be. All right, then the next thing we're going to need is priority. That's another thing my daddy used to tell me out there. Boy, you just busy doing nothing. I never understood that. But we can be busy doing absolutely nothing. And the devil loves it because he wants to distract you away from what God wants you to do. Because see, if you do what God wants you to do, you're going to become what God wants you to become. And that's the last place the devil wants you to be. He don't want you to become what God wants you to become. So he gets you doing a whole lot of things, but turn the focus in on self. Because if I can focus on self, I can't see nobody else. See, to see you, I got to look outward. To see me, I got to look inward. All I'm worried about is what I want, what I like. But there's a big, big, big difference between what we need to be doing and what we want to be doing. And we got to find a balance in there. That's why we got to prioritize. First thing in the morning, I got to consult with God. Because, see, the plans I done made for the day may not be the plans that he want me to be pursuing. And if I don't talk to him, you can run out there thinking you got that protection and find out, like a dude said one time, he said, "I ran out on the limb leading the crowd only to turn around and see them standing behind me with saws in their hands." Mm-mm. If we're doing what God has called us to do, what God has asked us to do, when God wants us to do it, you leave it with God. You don't have to worry about it. Priorities got to be straight. Then you got to have a plan and work that plan. See, setting priorities is the easy part. Sticking to them, that's a whole different matter. You don't believe me? What about them New Year's resolution you made? How many stuck with them? I know some people that said, "My New Year's resolution this year, I'm going to go on a diet."
then gained 20 pounds. I'm going to get another job to make some extra money. They're unemployed. It's not your plans. It's God's plan. And God don't mind you having plans. He just wants you to run them by him first. And he'll let you know. Here, five things, and I'm going to let you get out of here. Five things that we have to understand that ought to be our top priority. And I'm going to list them in the order. One is God. We got to put God first. Your purpose is to seek God first and his righteousness. And then he promised us all these other things will be added unto you. Everything you chasing, everything you racking your brain about, everything that's running up your blood pressure and giving you bad nerves, God will give it to you if you would just be still and know that he is God. Then we got to prioritize. See, because we need time to spend with God. We need time to spend with our families. We need time to spend with our friends and loved ones. We need time to go to work. Then last but not least, we need time for self. Oh, yeah, sometimes we need to be alone. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be alone. Maybe I'm a remarkable person because I done managed sometimes to get on my own nerves. And I need to get away from me. And the only way I can get away from me is with some good-hearted, spiritual-based distractions. You know, we think too much sometimes. We want to make things more complicated than what they are. It's simple. How many in here as believers don't have the goal of making it to God's kingdom? Who in here don't want to make it to God's kingdom? Well, maybe let me ask you another way. Who in here wants to make it to God's kingdom? So what did God tell us to do? Did he tell you go out there and work yourself crazy and you'll get there? No. Did he tell you everything depended on you? No. What I know, he told me that he gave his only begotten son. And whomsoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I can't speak for you as a Christian. I don't know your mind. But I'm telling you right now, I'm proud to be one of the whomsoever. And I'm proud to let go and let God. But we got to hear his voice. We got to hear his voice. We got to let him lead us. We got to let him guide us. Because I can guarantee you, if you don't, you're going to get too busy for God. And when you get too busy for God, guess who you're working for? And tell you, I'm going to tell you, he is an unrelenting taskmaster. He will work you into the ground until he destroys you. That's his goal. But God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Stop sweating all this stuff because, first of all, we don't own a thing. Everything here belongs to God. And Peter tells us that God has already given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Why? He has given us exceeding great and precious promises so that we can become partakers of what? His divine nature. You know what that means? When I partake of his divine nature, that means I become more Christ-like in character. In character. Right now, I got a special invitation I want to do before we make our overall general invitation. I'm going to ask all the singles if they would come down. Today is Single Emphasis Day, and I want the elders to come up, and we're going to pray for our singles. We should do a lot early and often to support our singles. You know, it's nice to have a confidant, someone to vent to, and ain't got to worry about it becoming gossip. To know I got somebody back there who really loves me, cares about me, want the best for me. So today, let's say to our singles, that's what we want to be for you.
Our Father and our God, we thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies. We know, Lord, that you know our needs. You promised to provide them according to your riches and glory. We thank you, Lord, for those singles that are here tonight, today. That your hand of mercy might rest upon them. Father, you are aware from the day they were born that they were going to wind up being single. You have made provision for that singleness. But we know that you will be there when no one else is there. The wee hours of the morning, late in the midnight hour, giving them the comfort that they need, giving them the inspiration that they need, giving them the wisdom and understanding that they need, providing them with whatsoever their need may be. Help us, Lord, that we might play our part in their growth and their development. Give us wisdom and understanding that we might be able to do what you would have us to do, reaching out to them, supporting them. And above all things, Lord, when we gather on the sea of glass, singing the songs of Moses and the Lamb. We all have a story to tell. We'll tell the story of how we got you, how you brought us through. We know that you brought some through the water, some through the fire, but all through the blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our second appeal is for all of us, single or married. There's a statement in the spirit of prophecy, matter of fact, Christ's object lessons. And it says that our time belongs to God. And we are to use it to glorify Him. There's no other gift that he has bestowed upon us, that he will require a more strict account of than our time. So our second prayer is, Lord, help us to regain control of our time. Help us to regain control of our thoughts, our activities. And then, Lord, help us to regain our focus so that you will be first in everything in our lives.
We're praying. Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. But as our prayer focuses on redeeming the time, dear Lord, give us all of a sense of urgency. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not here. So all we have is the now. What are we doing with it, Lord? Give us a sense of urgency to know that we need you, Lord. We need you to give us victory, Lord, in our areas of weakness, in our areas of vulnerability, in our areas of lackadaisiness, Lord. We need you, Lord. Allow us to do a self-examination, Lord, to see where we have fallen in those areas where we're weak, Lord. Able us not to be so proud that not to ask for your help, and not to identify those areas where we are weak. Lord God, we know that we're not perfect. We're constantly striving, Lord. We're constantly trying to measure up, Lord. But Lord, if we just realize that your grace and mercy is sufficient, it's not about what we do, Lord. It's about what's been done already for us, Lord, to give us victory. Father God, we pray for those victories in our life, Lord, that so easily beset us, dear Lord. We know that if we have the want to, Lord God, you have the how to. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to look at each and every person here today, Lord. Their time is valuable, not to be wasted, Lord, on trivial things that really don't matter. What matters is our relationship with you, Lord. If we already have a good relationship, Lord, we want a better relationship. Lord, we want to be so much like you so that when people see us, Lord, they'll say, what is it about you that's different, Lord? We thank you for time, Lord. Lord God, the next hour is not guaranteed. We have the now. We want to be yours 100% every minute of the day. And we rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus right now for any distractions, Lord. We thank you for the time that you've given us, Lord. We pray that you're going to give us even more time. So we just want to thank you and praise you and allow us to use it wisely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.